Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I almost said through the Darting Through the Faith podcast. Mm-hmm. A lot of
that's right.
T sound. So yeah. You're Julia Monin. Yep. I'm Father Sean Wilson. And this is the Darting Through the Faith podcast.
Darting Through the Faith. Counting down. Winding down. Well, with catechism
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And we actually realized we have a correction from last week because we said, including this one, we thought we had five left. But mm-hmm. we actually went back and counted. We have six left, mm-hmm. including this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
six is the number.
Sorry if you thought you were getting close. Penance goes on.
It goes on. Yeah. Actually, shout out to one of our listeners, Carol, who came up to me this weekend and said, is that really accurate? Are we almost done covering the catechism? What am I going to do when we are done with this? She was very appreciative, God bless her. Grateful. She says like she uses it almost as an index sometimes if she's reading or questioning something. What did Father Sean and Julia say about this? Mm. She goes back and finds the...
Wow.
So shout out to Carol.
Wow.
Yeah. And we... Six. But it's true, Carol.
Yeah.
There's only six left.
Six left.
Including this one. While we're in the catechism.
Sure. We've got some schemes for the
schemes.
Future. Plans.
Plans. Ideas.
Yeah.
We're talking about maybe some things we'll do next after the catechism, but yeah.
Right.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk too much right now because we did promise the listeners.
We did.
That on the next episode you were going to tell us a joke.
Okay. That's true. I don't know if I should tell them or tell you.
Well, either way, you can do both. Whatever. Whatever's natural. Just, you know.
Okay.
Whatever comes.
All right. So this is the story of my good friend Tony, right?
Okay.
And so Tony had a summer job that he really enjoyed. He was working with horses, right? And mm-hmm. Tony enjoyed horses. He enjoyed, you know, all things. So it was like a horse obedience school, basically, right? To mm-hmm. train horses how to have owners, right? And all that sort of thing. So one day while Tony's working, a new owner comes, but he brings a pony, right? And so he brings this pony to the horse obedience school. And they're like, could you take this pony? And Tony says, yeah, I'll take this mm-hmm. pony. I'll take this pony. I just realized that Tony and pony. I'm going to get confused. So anyways, so Tony takes this pony and they begin the work. And the first day is actually singing lessons in the horse obedience mm-hmm. school. So, you know, mm-hmm. the pony goes in with the rest of the horses and begins the singing lessons. And afterwards, the pony's done with the singing lessons. And Tony comes up to the pony and he says, gee there, Mr. Pony, you look awfully parched. Would you like a drink of water after your singing lessons? And the pony says, oh my gosh, Tony, that would be wonderful. And so the pony takes the water, guzzles it down, and is incredibly grateful. Makes mm-hmm. one of those nice long when he's been mm-hmm. refreshed, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the next thing on the agenda is actually they have their actual running. So just long distance kind of running. So the pony's trotting around with the rest of the horses trying to keep up. And afterwards, Tony comes up to the horse and says, gee, Mr. Pony, you look a little parched. Would you like a drink of water? Mm. And the pony says, well, thank you, Tony. I would really. I am parched. Thank you so much for this drink of water. So he mm-hmm. guzzles it down and he's so grateful. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that they actually have at the horse obedience school is a speech contest. So Mr. Pony had actually prepared a speech about Elmer's glue. So he tells all of this story about Elmer's glue and about its history and how it's made and all of that sort of thing for the horses. Mm-hmm. And that's very nice. And afterwards, you know, Tony comes up to him and says, hey, nice job, Mr. Pony, on your speech there about mm-hmm. the glue. And he says, well, thanks, Tony. And then Tony says, you know, after all that speech, you know, you look a little parched. Would you like a drink of water? Mm-hmm. And so he guzzles down the water. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Pony's so grateful. And so he, you know, has another ah. And then the pony says to Tony, he says, now, Tony, you keep giving me these drinks of water. Do you do this for all the horses or do you just do it for me, the pony? And Tony says, oh, no, I just do it for you because honestly, you look a little hoarse. Get it? Because a pony's a little horse and horse is also what happens when you're parched.
Uh-huh, I get it.
Or it is being parched.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Good.
Do you get it, listeners? Was it worth the wait? Grace, any idea how long that took? Oh, it's okay. We'll have to figure it out later. We were actually talking before you came up here today about Grace was reminding us, hey, I wrote that down. He's got to tell his joke today. Don't forget type of thing. And And Valerie was saying, you know, you mentioned on the podcast, like, we didn't have the time. It takes a lot of time. I hope you don't mind me saying this. It takes a lot of time, but I think it's just a joke that actually, in all honesty, it doesn't take that long. It just feels like it takes a lot of time. So I said, we'll have the time proof to actually see. Did it take 15 minutes? About 3 minutes. You were right on. She was right on. She said, I think it's probably like a 3 minute joke. Just so anyway.
That feels about,
about
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that you'll never get back.
Like a little horse.
Like, yeah. I'll be a little horse after this podcast.
Yeah. I'll have to get some water.
That's right. Maybe Tony will come up and give me some.
But yes, that, by the way, I realized the Tony and Pony thing about the exact moment that you noticed.
Yeah.
You're going to regret those rhyming words.
I know. You know, the name is, you can kind of change it around, uh-huh. but you know, your husband's Tony, so it seemed fitting to include his name. But
Right.
Shoot. Different. Well, you learn next time. Next time it'll be Greg.
Okay. That might work.
I think so.
Okay. Well,
we should pray.
Let's pray and get
into it. In the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Merciful Father, we ask that you may constantly and continually draw us back to yourself, that you may go seek those who are lost amongst your flock, those who are struggling in their faith, and even amongst our family and friends. We pray for the conversion of all those who are trapped in a life of sin. And we entrust this time into your hands, this podcast, and the lives of all of our listeners through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. We are on paragraphs 268 to 274.
Just the a little bit.
Almighty. Yeah.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Horse?
Horse.
Yeah. Little piece of the catechism.
Little piece. 268 to 274, the Almighty. So, where are we at? What section? What part?
Yeah, we're in the first part of the catechism about the creed, mm-hmm. and specifically the attribute of God, the Father Almighty, right? So the thing before this, or the paragraph before this, is about the Father and actually all the Trinitarian relations and everything with that. Mm-hmm. So this is the Father, the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And there are just a few paragraphs. This is divided up into, first we just get an introduction, and then we get three different ways that we describe this, the Almighty. He does whatever he pleases. You are merciful to all, for you can do all things. And then the mystery of God's apparent powerlessness. Ooh, that's a profound section. So 268, our little intro to this. Of all the divine attributes, only God's omnipotence is named in the creed. To confess this power has great bearing on our lives. We believe that his might is universal. For God, who created everything, also rules everything and can do everything. God's power is loving, for he is our Father, and mysterious, for only faith can discern it when it is made perfect in weakness. Okay.
Yeah. Peculiar. And I wonder if we could talk to the fathers of the council at the Nicene Creed, why Almighty was the only of the divine attributes, right? All knowing, all good. None of those were mentioned, just Almighty, all powerful. So omnipotent, as we say in a fancy word.
Okay. And what are the words for those other attributes of God?
Omniscient, all knowing, and omnibenevolent, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All good.
Uh-huh. Okay. So first we get into, we believe what was stated here. We believe that his might is universal, for God, who created everything, also rules everything and can do everything. This is covered in the next section, which is just one paragraph, 269. The Holy Scriptures repeatedly confess the universal power of God. He is called the Mighty One of Jacob, the Lord of Hosts, the Strong and Mighty One. If God is almighty in heaven and on earth, it is because he made them. Nothing is impossible with God, who disposes his works according to his will. He is the Lord of the universe, whose order he established, and which remains wholly subject to him and at his disposal. He is master of history, governing hearts and events in keeping with his will. It is always in your power to show great strength, and who can withstand the strength of your arm? That's quoting Wisdom, the Book of Wisdom.
Right. And so if the Lord's able to bring something out of nothing, right, if he's able to create from nothing, it shows the fact that his power is universal, that he can do whatever he wills and whatever he pleases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's great miraculous stories of this. Maybe one that just comes to mind is the miracle of the sun with Our Lady of Fatima. You know, that people visibly saw the sun move, and reporters, atheists, believers, and everything in between attested to the fact that the sun actually danced in the sky, and it was a terrifying sight.
Mm-hmm.
So just this example, though, of the universal power of God, that he can do whatever he wills, and he has done whatever he wills, that he's really the Lord of history and the Lord of hearts. And of course, on the other hand, though, he gives human beings free will, so he doesn't force us And that's a great mystery. How is God all powerful, but yet we have free will?
Well, the second mentioned in this paragraph, you can see I'm not even going to attempt to explain that. We're just going to move on.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about it more.
Nope.
Okay. So the second that we're talking about with this attribute, God's power is loving, for he is our Father. God's power is loving, for he is our Father. And this is covered in 270 and 271 in a section titled, "You are merciful to all, for you can do all things." God is the Father Almighty, whose fatherhood and power shed light on one another. God reveals his fatherly omnipotence by the way he takes care of our needs, by the filial adoption that he gives us. "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters," says the Lord Almighty. Finally, by his infinite mercy, for he displays his power at its height by freely forgiving sins.
Isn't that amazing? That the height of the Lord's power is his ability to forgive sins. Because you think about that, the power to forgive sins actually changes the eternal destiny of an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, like even we say, man, it's so powerful for God to even, let's just use the sun dance, right? That's amazing. But eventually the sun will no longer shine, right? Eventually the earth will, you know, all of creation will be, you know, ended. Mm-hmm. And yet the eternal destiny of a soul who's been forgiven will never end. So we see his power in forgiveness is actually one that has eternal ramifications, not just one that has ramifications to the end of time. So that's just the height of the Lord's power, is his ability to forgive. But then that doesn't mean that's all he cares about, right? That's not the only thing that the Lord demonstrates his power through, his mercy, but also his fatherly care, that he cares for each and every one of his people. And hopefully we experience that in our own lives, right? That we experience the way the Lord has unfolded our life and protecting us and nourishing us and caring for us in such a powerful way oftentimes. Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes we don't even look for it. But it's true.
Yeah. That height of that forgiveness, that's profound. It reminds me of the expression "wonderfully created," which we are wonderfully created, and all of creation is wonderfully created, but even more wonderfully restored. And and that is the reality. How wonderful it is that he created us to begin with, but then even more so that he's restored us into the fullness of grace. The next paragraph in this section, "God's almighty power is in no way arbitrary. In God, power, essence, will, intellect, wisdom, and justice are all identical. Nothing, therefore, can be in God's power which could not be in his just will or his wise intellect." God's almighty power is in no way arbitrary.
And if we think about arbitrary power, it might be like an example would be like a CEO is like, "I can do whatever I want. I can tell somebody to do this for me and they'll do it." You know, like a army drill sergeant that, you know, I say jump, they say how high. Right? God's is not an arbitrary power that he just uses it to, you know, get excited or demonstrate how much better he is than anybody else. But his power is always integrated with his goodness and his wisdom, his knowledge. So all of that goes together. It's not like one without the other, that he's just showing how powerful he is for, because he wants to show off, right? But it's actually for our benefit, his power is. And he knows what's best, right? That's the part of being omniscient, of being all-knowing.
So awesome. Okay, so jumping back to the intro paragraph then too, we had a third aspect that was related to this attribute of the Almighty. It's also mysterious, for only faith can discern it when it is made perfect in weakness. So we have three paragraphs on this. 272 reads, "Faith in God, the Father Almighty, can be put to the test by the experience of evil and suffering. God can sometimes seem to be absent and incapable of stopping evil, but in the most mysterious way, God the Father has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humiliation and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. Christ crucified is thus the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is in Christ's resurrection and exaltation that the Father has shown forth the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe." So faith, this faith, it's put to the test by the evil and suffering, and yet God reveals to us this power in the fact that he took on our flesh, he died, and conquered death by rising from it.
Right. There's a great, if I can nerd out for a moment.
Please
here.
Do, yes.
There's a great image in the Silmarillion, which is written by J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. about a bunch of other stories related to the Lord of the Rings and even the backstory. Mm-hmm. And so there's one about like the creation of that universe, you know, of like Middle Earth and all of that, mm-hmm. where I can't remember all the names, but I think the God figure, the Father Almighty, is Iluvatar, and basically he breathes creation in like a symphony into existence. And one of the angels who's participating in bringing about creation is basically intentionally playing wrong notes, mm-hmm. intentionally distorting the song of creation. But the Father is so powerful that he's able to incorporate the distortion of this fallen angel, so to speak, mm-hmm. into his symphony, and to bring about an even more beautiful symphony mm-hmm. that can incorporate this intentional, what would you say? You know, the intentional discord mm-hmm. that's written in by this fallen angel. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a great image of what the Lord can do with evil and suffering, that mm-hmm. he can actually draw it into his story to bring about something mm-hmm. even more beautiful. And we see this in people's stories, right? We see this in people's lives. You know, you think mm-hmm. about the addict giving a witness story about, you know, being in the pits of mm-hmm. hell, basically, and the Lord doing so much and even using the discord, the disharmony in their mm-hmm. own life to bring about something even more beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we don't always see that, and so mm-hmm. it's hard. But the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection highlights that for us, that the Lord can take the worst thing that's ever happened, the death of the Son of God, mm-hmm. and bring about new life for us. Mm-hmm. And that can happen in our own lives too.
Mm-hmm. It's reminding me of those words, all things work for good mm-hmm. for those who love God.
Right.
All things work for good. So yeah, in this mysterious way, God the Father has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humiliation and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. And again, so this is talking about this mystery of the mm-hmm. faith. Can you remind us? I know we talk about this over and over again, but what does Holy Mother Church mean when she calls something a mystery?
Right. Not like a mystery novel where it's like you got to follow the clues to solve the riddle, right? Mm-hmm. Or to solve whodunit. Mm-hmm. But it's actually something that you can say a whole lot about, mm-hmm. but you can never completely exhaust, mm-hmm. right? So you can describe the mystery of the Trinity in so many ways, mm-hmm. but you could never say it all. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not just us saying, well, it's a mystery. You just got to believe. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery so we can penetrate it. We can think about mm-hmm. it. We can reflect upon it. We can write about it, but we could never exhaust mm-hmm. it. Right.
Mm-hmm. So great that it's beyond our grasp mm-hmm. and beyond our ability to fully communicate it.
Right.
At all of its depth. Yeah.
But not where we can say nothing about it.
Right. 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 Mm. So 273 reads, only faith can embrace the mysterious ways of God's almighty power. This faith glories in its weaknesses in order to draw to itself Christ's power. The Virgin Mary is the supreme model of this faith, for she believed that nothing will be impossible with God and was able to magnify the Lord. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mm. This faith glories in its weaknesses in order to draw itself to Christ's power. And we get the supreme model in the Blessed Mother.
Right. The lowly handmaid mm-hmm. who the Lord has done great things for. And mm-hmm. that's also his people, right? Mary's an image of God's people. And she's an image of the church. She's an image of the people of Israel who, in their lowliness, the Lord does great things. You even think about the rescuing of the people through the Red Sea. In their lowliness, in their need, in mm-hmm. their kind of lack of anything, the Lord mm-hmm. demonstrates his all power. His almighty power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His power. Mm-hmm. His almightiness. Mm-hmm.
Good. All of those. Nothing is more apt to confirm our faith and hope than holding it fixed in our minds that nothing is impossible with God. Once our reason has grasped the idea of God's almighty power, it will easily and without any hesitation admit everything that the Creed will afterwards propose for us to believe, even if they be great and marvelous things, far above the ordinary laws of nature. That's a powerful statement.
So if we believe that nothing is impossible for mm-hmm. God, then we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. We can believe that the bread and wine has really been transformed into the body and blood mm-hmm. of our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that we can be forgiven for our sins, that it's possible to be a saint. Nothing will be impossible for God. Mm-hmm. Great words of Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary, right?
So good. Yeah. And such a bold, once your reason has grasped this, it will easily and without hesitation admit to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Again, so that was in this third section, the mystery of God's apparent powerlessness, right?
Apparent
powerlessness.
But not actual.
Mm-hmm.
That's it already, huh?
That's actually it. That was a short paragraph or a short section. And then the In Briefs 275 through 278 is actually covering everything we just talked about too. So you can refresh that a little bit too. So you can cross that one off, but we don't need to throw a dart this time because we've already done that. Next time we are going to paragraphs 1020 to 1037, Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory.
That takes us to five left. Now it's officially okay. We have five left.
Okay, now it's official. Yep. Miscounted before.
Miscounted. I think we counted. We watched Sesame Street. One,
they are kind of
three.
Nice. That's a pretty good impression.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're getting hard to like tell what's open. I almost circled them earlier, but I didn't want to mess the board up, you know? But anyway. Okay, so I'm going to end in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, which is
The Magnificat,
this canticle of Mary, where we see the Blessed Mother setting the example for us, being the supreme model of faith and declaring God's greatness, his almighty power, right? Through her weakness.
Word.
And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's loneliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped Israel his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever."